stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with
everyone. This is the Right Opinion Show on WGXC 90.7 FM. My name's Ed Furtick, and hello to everyone in Columbia and Greene County in this wonderful but highly taxed state of New York. And by the way, as I speak, the national debt is now $17.83 trillion, and $7.26 trillion is attributed to this president. That is approximately 40% of the total national debt accrued by all preceding presidents of the United States. If you are a taxpayer, your share of the national debt is about $152,784 today. And if there are four taxpayers in your family, their share of the your family share of the national debt is about $600,000. All right. Well, today, as usual, we're going to have a great guest on the show. And that will be State Assemblyman Steve McLaughlin of the 107th Assembly District. And he just called me, and he is running a few minutes late, but he will be here. So, Steve, you're probably listening on the radio. Don't rush. I don't want you to get into an accident. And we got plenty to talk about before you get here. But when you get here, walk right in, sit right down, and we'll get going. I might as well bring up a few things that are going on in the local area that you should know about. First of all, there is a primary election that's going to be held on Tuesday, September 9th. I hope you show up to vote in primary elections. That's Tuesday, September 9th from noon to 9 p.m. And some people may not realize it, but Andrew Cuomo does have another Democrat who is going to primary him. And we might be talking about that a little bit later. Cuomo's challenger is Zephyr Teachout. And maybe that will come up in our conversation a little bit later with the assemblyman. So be sure to show up for your primary election on Tuesday, September 9th from noon to 9 p.m. Now, the Columbia County Fair is starting very soon. I think it's starting on Friday, and that's going to be a really cool event as usual, and we'll be talking more about that later. But for now, just walking into the studio is photographer Lois Dysart, who's sort of becoming a little regular here. Good morning, Lois. And Assemblyman McLaughlin has entered the studio. So good morning, Assemblyman.
Good morning.
I think I promoted you. Did I call you a senator?
I don't know. I was trying to get here, you know, not hit every red light in Hudson,
good.
But I did, I think.
Well, I don't know if you heard me talking to you on radio. I was telling you not to rush.
No, I was fine. It was
better safe than sorry.
787's a little bit under construction, so it hung me up for about 5 minutes.
Well, don't worry about it. Well, let's get going here. One of the main things I wanted you to talk about today was the Moreland Commission. And I imagine there are listeners who don't know what the Moreland Commission is. And there is, as far as I know, a U.S. attorney by the name of Preet Bharara investigating the Moreland Commission scandal.
Right.
And so, why don't you tell the listener what the Moreland Commission is going on and what this scandal is about?
Yeah, sure. Well, it's the Moreland Commission was started by Governor Cuomo last year, and it was basically a threat to the legislature that if they didn't pass ethics reform, that he was going to start a Moreland Commission to investigate the legislature. Setting aside the fact that the governor has no constitutional authority to investigate the legislature, which you would think an attorney general, a former attorney general of the state of New York, would know. He didn't seem to know that. He had no authority to investigate the legislature. But be that as it may, the legislature did not yield to his bidding, and he started a Moreland Commission. Now, what people forget is we passed ethics reform in 2011. And he was, you know, crowing from the rooftops about how great it was and how we had fixed the problems in Albany. And this was the greatest legislature in the country, which was a complete joke then as it is now. People forget that we did do ethics reform. But like much of what this governor does, he keeps recycling the same ideas over and over and over again and says, well, we have to do ethics reform all over again in 2014. Or in 2013. We don't pass his version of ethics reform to his liking. He starts a Moreland Commission. They begin to investigate the legislature. The legislature pushes back, as they are rightfully able to do, because, again, there's no constitutional authority from the executive to investigate the legislative branch. And then what happened was he shut it down prematurely when that Moreland Commission did their job and began to investigate him.
That's funny.
You know, and they get a little too close to Andrew Cuomo and to his donors, namely the Real Estate Board of New York and the media buying company that was doing all these ads, which I call, you know, kind of scam ads that he's running all over the country, the Open for Business ads and the New New York and all that. That's a whole other topic of conversation where he took $37.5 million of Sandy relief aid and used it to promote his agenda, rather than to help the victims of Sandy.
Well, it's not another topic. Let's dwell on that a few minutes here. So what specifically do you think are the issues the Moreland Commission was investigating that made Cuomo react the way he reacted?
Yeah, well, he got very, very nervous when they got close to the Real Estate Board of New York and to that media buying company. I'm drawing a blank on the name on what that media buying company was. But a little too close for comfort, and he prematurely shut the Moreland Commission down and said, that's it, it's all done. And what happened was, just to take a quick step back, he and or his direct subordinates, Larry Schwartz, Joe Prococo, were directly involved in stopping subpoenas that the Moreland Commission was ready to issue to the Real Estate Board of New York, to that media buying company. They were directly involved and stopped those subpoenas from going forward.
Do they have the legal authority to stop them?
No. Well, that's where U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara came in and said, let's hold on a second here. After the governor shut this down very prematurely, very quickly, and claimed, the work's all done, everything's fine, we passed ethics reform, as you know, to what he said was ethics reform to his liking, we have no need to continue with the Moreland Commission. Well, what happened was, the real issue here is that all of those members of the Moreland Commission, most of whom are district attorneys in various counties throughout the state of New York, were deputized as deputy attorneys general by Eric Schneiderman. That may be the biggest, dumbest move that Andrew Cuomo ever made or allowed to be made, because once they were deputized, and then once either he or his senior staff got involved and pulled back those subpoenas, you now have the very real possibility of witness tampering and obstruction of justice. And that's where the U.S. attorney is now heavily involved investigating him, so much so that Andrew Cuomo, the governor of the state of New York, has had to hire at least one criminal defense attorney. And now you've noticed, and I hope the people of New York are noticing, how silent he's become. He won't debate. He won't debate either his Democrat opponent, Zephyr Teachout, or Rob Astorino. And part of that problem is he very well may be under a gag order by his own criminal defense attorney, where the defense attorney is saying, don't debate, don't say anything too much, because you could actually incriminate yourself during a debate, because he will certainly be asked about what he knew about the Moreland Commission.
Now, I think it was maybe a month ago, maybe it was 3 weeks, maybe it was 5 weeks, but the New York Times, surprisingly, ran a long, scathing article attacking Cuomo's handling of the Moreland Commission. I was pretty surprised by that. What do you think is going on there? I wouldn't normally think the New York Times would go after the governor for anything, quite frankly.
Right. Well, it wouldn't be typical.
It wouldn't be typical of the
left-wing New York Times, but they're not very. First of all, that was a phenomenal piece of reporting that was done there. I think it was Thomas Kaplan broke that story, and that was months and months of work. And other things had been broken sort of before that. I was talking about some of this stuff on my own Facebook page a year ago, just about this time, a year ago, September. I was talking about them pulling subpoenas and that the tax credits that were given to the Real Estate Board of New York, somewhere in the neighborhood of $30 million. Cuomo signed that bill just after he got a few $100,000 in contributions from the Real Estate Board of New York. Within a week or so, he signed that bill, giving them $30 million worth of tax breaks. So that New York Times article was comprehensive, and if people haven't read it, they should definitely take the time. It's going to take them about 20 minutes, 25 minutes to read it. It's a big article.
Yeah, I guess you can go to the New York Times website and then search under Moreland Commission, and it'd probably pop up.
You could go back on my Facebook page and find it. It's certainly out there all over the place, all over the country, really.
So it's not a vast right-wing conspiracy to get Cuomo. Even the New York Times is getting in on the act.
Yep.
Before you arrived in the studio, you probably didn't hear this on radio, I mentioned that there is a primary election because there is a Democrat running against Cuomo for the Democrat nomination. She had to jump through a lot of hoops to get to that point, and her name is Zephyr Teachout.
Right.
And I just found out, and I mean, it was a news report, but not from a major source, that the New York Times is not going to endorse either one of them in the primary election. What do you think's going on with that?
Well, that's very, very interesting. That's a pretty scathing rebuke of Cuomo by the New York Times. That story broke late sometime yesterday. Where they're not going to make an endorsement. For them not to endorse a sitting governor, and really for a sitting Democrat governor in the state of New York to face a primary from his left flank is almost unprecedented and highly unusual. But it shows that the antagonistic attitude of Andrew Cuomo, where he's isolated the left, he's isolated the right, he's basically got everybody in the state mad at him. You see, public unions are not endorsing him. NYSIT, PEF, CSEA. Not endorsing him. I said the other day, I think the only ones that have endorsed him are Sandra Lee and Mario at this point. I mean, nobody is endorsing this governor. That was a big deal for the New York Times to turn their back on him. And what they said there was he's failed at his number one job, that his own self-proclaimed number one job, which was cleaning up Albany. He completely failed. And not only did he fail, he contributed to the corruption in Albany. He's fueled the fire, if you will. And, he's walked away. When things got a little bit tough, he walked away from it, threw up his hands and said, there's nothing I can do. Well, he actually made the situation worse, not better, in Albany. So the New York Times, I think, did the right thing and did not endorse him. This is turning out to be a very interesting couple of weeks here. And it's almost like the slow drip, drip, drip when you don't know if the dam's going to break. I mean, could indictments be handed down in the Moreland Commission saga? Absolutely. I expect indictments to come at some point. If they come in the next 10 days, who knows what happens with this primary. But either way, he's damaged, I think, irreparably on the national scale, because if Zephyr Teachout, let's say she doesn't win, and certainly odds are that she's not going to win just because of the bully pulpit that he's got and the money that he's got. But let's say she posts big numbers of 35% or 40%. How do you then turn around and run for president of the United States when you can't secure your own base in your
right.
home state?
Well, I don't think Andrew is running for president, but I do think he's looking for a VP slot or a very big job in national government. To me, that's the reason he is doing the SAFE Act Common Core stuff to cater to a national base. But I might be wrong, but it seems that way to me. And by the way, we'll talk about that in a little while. So is there anything further you want to add about the Moreland Commission? The one thing I'm interested in knowing is, are the Democrats in the Assembly drawing wagons around the governor in this regard? And what are the Republicans in the Assembly doing?
Well, it's an interesting time because we're all running for re-election. So certainly mm-hmm. everybody out there is focused on running their race.
Right.
But the one interesting thing that you're seeing out there is nobody is circling the wagons around this governor. You've seen
really?
I mean, okay. I've seen nothing. I saw Senator Andrea Stewart Cousins came out with sort of a milquetoast generic, support of the governor and that this is nothing type of thing. But you don't see a groundswell of support for this governor, and a lot of that has to do with the way that he treats Democrat assemblymen and senators as well. You're going to see there's not a lot of passion for this man, and as I've said for a long time now, that his support is at best an inch deep. It may be wide at this point, but although that's shrinking fast too, but at best it's an inch deep. There's no real support or passion around this guy, and you can see it. They're not endorsing him. There's no big rallies for him. He's afraid to campaign. So I think it's one of those things where if they sense blood in the water, they'll tear him up. And I will say flat out that Elliot Spitzer resigned office for less than what Andrew Cuomo has allegedly done.
All right. Well, that's pretty profound. Well, this is a good segue into the governor's race. We have to assume that Cuomo is probably going to win this primary. I don't see the mainstream media even letting people know that he has an opponent. Only the better informed people
right.
seem to know that there is even a primary. So he'll win the primary, and then he faces Rob Astorino, mm-hmm. who's the Westchester County executive. How is that race going, in your opinion? Does Astorino have a chance?
Oh, he does, definitely. I think Rob is a great candidate, outstanding gubernatorial candidate. I'm very supportive of Rob. People may know I was considering running, and for me it wasn't the right time, but I backed Rob, as soon as I met him. He and I met this probably late winter, early spring, talked about what was going on, and I said, I'll support you all the way. Interestingly, you see right now the press not doing their job in New York State. I mean, Andrew Cuomo is ducking and dodging debates. And what is the press doing? Andrew Cuomo says, well, I'm going to leave it up to the campaigns to decide whether there's going to be a debate or not. Well, every other campaign, Zephyr Teachout, Rob Astorino, Randy Credico, who's a comedian, political activist, is also running for governor, Howie Hawkins on the Libertarian line, every one of them has agreed to debate. So Andrew Cuomo tells a lie when he says, I'm going to leave it up to the campaigns to decide. Well, every other campaign has decided, Governor, but you continue to duck and hide. And where the press is complicit in all this, the mainstream press, is they don't follow up and say, Governor, that's ridiculous. You run your campaign. You are your campaign, just as Steve McLaughlin is his campaign. All of us are our campaign. We're the boss of our campaign. We don't, and especially for a governor who admits he's a micromanager's, he's a control freak. There's no way he doesn't know what's going on here. So for the press not to do their job and follow up and press him and say, what's going on? That's not an acceptable answer. They just accept what he says and report it as if it's gospel. And then he keeps repeating the same thing over and over. I'm going to leave it up to the campaigns. All that being said, he's ducking, he's hiding, he doesn't want to debate for reasons that we discussed earlier. But the Rob Astorino campaign, I think, is starting to gain traction a little bit. And I do think, watch what happens now after Labor Day, where people return, kids get back in school. You watch where people start to pay attention. This race, I believe, is going to tighten right up. And, as I said before, what happens if indictments start getting handed down? You never know. We may have the perfect storm brewing here. And the unknown, which we haven't even talked about, there's a very real chance that Governor Cuomo's running mate, Kathy Hochul, loses on September 9th to Tim Wu, who is Zephyr Teachout's running mate. And that's going to set up an incredibly difficult dynamic for this governor here in New York State.
Wow. Well, we'll see what happens. I'll tell you, I was pretty disturbed when I heard that New Jersey Governor Chris Christie refuses to help Astorino. What's going on with this guy? Is he just switching parties or what?
Well, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Governor Christie, and less so after what he did to Rob Astorino. I think it's traitorous. He's a head of the Republican Governors Association. His job is to get Republican governors elected. And for whatever reason, whether it's Bridgegate and how Cuomo and Christie are tied at the hip on that, is there a mutual agreement that they're not going to go after each other? I can't tell you exactly what's going on. I can only tell you that it is unacceptable for Chris Christie to turn his back on Rob Astorino. And what happens if Rob Astorino pulls off this victory? It sends a shockwave from Albany to Sacramento, right through the entire country, that this progressive nonsense has to stop. And for whatever reason, Chris Christie has turned his back on him. But to their credit, Nikki Haley, Rick Perry, Mike Pence, you know, a couple of others, Bobby Jindal, a couple of the other governors have agreed to support Rob Astorino. Carly Fiorina, who ran HP, I think it was, and ran for the Senate. So it's to Chris Christie's great detriment, and trust me, it's not going to be forgotten by Republican voters throughout the country what he's done here. And I think Rob's right when he says if he can't work on getting Republican governors elected, he should step down as head of the RGA.
Yeah, I can tell you that Christie isn't doing very well in the social media with conservatives anyway.
Right.
He's a punching bag in the social media, and he deserves it. So I don't think the governor is listening to this show, but maybe I'll send him an audio file.
And let's not forget, too, that it was Chris Christie who embraced Barack Obama just weeks before the presidential election.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have not forgotten that either and think that he, you know, that had a big impact on swaying the election back toward Obama. And you look at the price we're paying for that.
Yeah. And he did it for self-serving reasons to play to the Democrat base in New Jersey, it would seem. But anyway, we're going to go into some announcements and then a break song. And Assemblyman, you have 5 or 6 minutes to tweet and Twitter and Facebook and use the facilities here. And so we've got some stuff to talk about. And first of all, you've been listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, and Catskill. And this is a Right Opinion Show. My name's Ed Furtick. Now, after the show at 11, Zooms is coming up with Tyson. And then at noontime, the Shomer Show will begin. So you got two good shows coming up, folks. Stay tuned. I mentioned the Columbia County Fair, which is getting ready to get underway. And there's going to be some good stuff going on over there. There's going to be a band called Still Surfin', which is a Beach Boy tribute band, and I hear they're really excellent. And then the Oak Ridge Boys are going to be there on Sunday with two shows. And, you know, the Oak Ridge Boys are known for their patriotic music. So if you don't like that, you might not want to show up at the Columbia County Fair that day, but I'll be there. So the Still Surfin' and the Outreach Boys, Columbia County Fair. And actually, I will be there at the Columbia County Fair representing the Hudson Valley Americans for Freedom. I'll be there on Monday from 3 to 8 p.m. The Hudson Valley Americans for Freedom have a booth. We're indoors, and I don't know the name or number of the building, but there aren't many indoor facilities, so you can find me. Say hello to Eddie F. on radio at the Columbia County Fair Monday, 3 to 8 p.m. Now, I mentioned the primary elections on Tuesday, September 9th from noon to 9 p.m. Be sure to show up and make yourself important. Now, the next show of The Right Opinion, the next episode, will be on September 10th. And obviously the next day is September 11th. I feel it would be inappropriate to do a show on September 10th that had anything to do with anything other than 9/11. I mean, I was personally, you know, I was down there directly across the street from the what became known as the exclusion zone, working in the federal building, and which was also the FBI headquarters and the home of the Joint Terror Task Force, ironically. So we're going to have a September 10th show that's devoted to the 9/11 terror attack on the on New York City. It will be a remembrance. I'm putting this together now. If anyone listening has a significant 9/11 related experience, you can email me at edfertik, F-E-R-T-I-K, at gmail.com, and you might get on this show to talk for a little while about your experience. So again, that's edfertik, F-E-R-T-I-K, at gmail.com. I'm going to try and have a couple of people on to talk about what they went through. I'll be talking about what I went through. September 10th at 10 a.m., The Right Opinion Show. Now, when 9/11 happened, Sony Music came out with a CD to raise money for victims of the 9/11 attack. And this is... I'm going to play one of the songs from that album, and let's see which one will it be. And interestingly enough, Lee Greenwood is on that. But you know what? I'm just gonna have a change of pace here, because I'm going to go to a song by Mary Chapin Carpenter. And I'll save the other CD for the 9/10 show. This is a tune by Mary Chapin Carpenter. I'm dedicating it to all the conservative women out there in politics in the Mid-Hudson Valley and beyond who are fighting the conservative fight against very hostile media. So let's try to get this going. And it's a great tune.
The tracks. I stood on the rail till I saw that train, just to see how my heart would react. Now some people say that you shouldn't tempt fate, and for them I cannot disagree. But I never learned nothing from playing it safe. I say fate should not tempt me. I take my chances. I found a preacher who spoke of the light, but there was brimstone in his throat. He'd show me the way according to him in return for my personal check. I flipped my channel back to CNN and I lit another cigarette. I take my chances. debt. I take my chances. I take my chances every chance I get. I've crossed lines of words and wire, and both have cut me deep. I've been frozen out and I've been on fire, and the tears are mine to weep. But I can cry until I laugh, or laugh until I cry. So cut the death right in half. I'll play from either side. I take my chances.
Well, that was I'll Take My Chances by Mary Chapin Carpenter, going out to all those conservative politicians and activists fighting the good fight against all odds. Okay, well, we're back here with New York State Assemblyman, 107th AD, Republican Assemblyman Steve McLaughlin. And now we are going to talk about Steve's reelection bid. So, Steve, tell us who you're running against and what the issues are and how things are going with that.
Well, I'm running against a gentleman named Phil Malone, and, you know, I think we're in great shape for reelection. I think at this point people know who I am. They know what I stand for. They know how hard I'm fighting for them out there and their families to make New York a better place. My record, I think, speaks for itself. Certainly I've been a staunch supporter of our constitutional rights, and one of the highest ranked assemblymen in the building, in the state, really, for pro-business stances that I've taken. Both NFIB and Unshackle Upstate have gotten among their highest ratings. I was legislator of the year for New York Rifle and Pistol Association last year. And education, I've been in the forefront on fighting Common Core. I was the first legislator in New York State to hold a teachers forum, a teachers summit, education summit, where I brought in teachers for every one of my schools, districts in the 107th Assembly District, and we sat all day and talked about the issues. You know, I certainly talk with superintendents and business managers all the time about what's going on, but I want to hear from the people in the trenches every day. So I was the first legislator to do that in New York State, and you know, I think my record is strong and solid. And I think the one thing people know is I don't suffer fools gladly, and I fight like a Wolverine inside that chamber for upstate New York. So I feel good. All that being said, we have the Republican and conservative line, and because of my stance on the SAFE Act and my vehement opposition to Andrew Cuomo, he apparently made sure that I didn't get the independence line, which I've had in years past. So me being the fighter that I am, so, well, we're just going to do a write-in campaign. So for anybody listening that's in the Independence Party, September 9th, I will be there, you know, not on the ballot, but there's a spot right there that says write-in. And if people want to vote for me and support me, simple as can be, just, you know, write in Steve McLaughlin underneath that assembly line.
Yeah,
I feel very good that we're going to win.
So now that is a write-in in a primary.
In a primary.
In the Independence Party primary.
Right. And same thing, yeah, exactly, in the Independence. Yep.
Yeah, write-in votes seem to be all the rage. I heard about a rogue state senator, I think he was in the Midwest, who won a general election.
Wow.
With a write-in vote.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Well, it's easy now with the new ballot. You know, it's not like the old days with the lever machines. You had to, you know, stand on your head and, you know, do a cartwheel and flip a lever. You had all this crazy stuff you had to do a write-in. Now they're handing you a piece of paper where you're filling in the dots. Well, this is so simple. It literally says write-in. So there's a whole line for write-in candidates right
all
now.
All right. I'm sure there are independents listening. So you sound pretty optimistic about that.
Feel great about it. But, you know, ultimately it's up to the people. They'll decide. But I think that the way I go about it is just go straight ahead, tell people the truth. If they, you know, I always say, look, the people that don't like me aren't going to like me no matter what I say. They're not going to like you because of a letter beside your name. But I'm not changing who I am. I know what I believe in. I know that I'm fighting for what is right here in upstate New York, and I'm not going to change. So, you know, for those that support me, and I do hear that a lot when I'm going door to door every day, that, hey, we're behind you, we support you. I was in Dick's Sporting Goods the other day in Latham, and some guy's yelling out, hey, Steve, you know, we support you, we're there for you. So, you know, I'm there for the folks, and then on election day, we need the folks to be there for us.
Now, you're also on the Common Core line, aren't you?
Yeah, very proud of that.
That what it's called?
Yeah, Stop Common Core.
The Stop Common Core line,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Rob Astorino spearheaded that effort statewide. He collected, I think, close to 100,000 signatures on that line. We got 2,100. We needed 1,500. We got 21. So that was a big effort because we had already gotten all of our signatures for Republican and conservative, and we did get independent signatures thinking we were going to get the line. Then we didn't get the line. We had to go back out and get other independent signatures for the opportunity to ballot to create the write-in. And then we went out and got the Stop Common Core signatures, which is a whole new crop of people that have not signed any other petition. So it was a huge effort, real proud of it. And I think that statewide, that line is going to perform very, very well because I do not run into very many parents at all that support the Common Core. So there's a lot of ticked off teachers and parents out there that want to see this gone.
Right. Now, my feeling is that there are a lot of Democrats who are opposed to Common Core.
Absolutely.
So you could pick up some Democrat protest votes on that line. And it's quite an accomplishment to the Stop Common Core movement to get a line.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty amazing because it was activist generated. So good job.
Big effort,
folks. Big
very
effort.
Proud
good
of it.
Job. And so you're on three lines.
Three lines, hopefully four.
Hopefully four. And there is no primary, right?
There's no, only in the independence line. That's
right.
It. Just
okay.
In the independence.
Just in the independence line.
Yeah.
Okay, real good. Well, you mentioned the SAFE Act and Common Core earlier. So let's get a little update on what's going on with all that in the legislative body, if anything. Let's start with the SAFE Act. Anything new to report? Anything going on?
Well, not within the legislature. I get asked all the time, you know, you're going to repeal that bill? Well, and I have to say no. The legislature is not going to repeal it because had they done their jobs and read the Constitution and read this bill, they never would have voted for that to begin with. So to try to get people that have, and I would venture a guess that many of the legislators still have not read the SAFE Act. I've read the thing probably 10 times, and every time I read it, I pick up new things that tick me off about it. But to get them to admit that they were wrong is not going to happen. So our chance of victory is a couple of ways. Elect Rob Astorino, and he will defang this thing. That's one way to do it.
Can he do that with an executive order?
Yeah,
or?
there's a lot of bills out there that don't get pushed or enforced. You see the police out there not wanting to enforce this law anyway. They know how bad this bill is, how bad this piece of legislation was. So that's one way to do it. The other way to do it is you certainly elect Rob Astorino. But then our other hope for victory is in the courts, and I think that's ultimately where we're going to be successful. I do think this ends up like a Heller McDonald type of level decision where it ends up at the U.S. Supreme Court, because no matter who wins or loses within New York State, of course there's going to be appeals that I think end up in the U.S. United States Supreme Court. I think that's where our best hope for victory is. And the other way to do it is start paying attention to who you're voting for. And if you're, don't blindly pull the lever for a Republican or a Democrat. If they're not supportive of your constitutional rights, and I'm talking about all of them, not just the Second Amendment, but every one of your constitutional rights, if they're not focused on that, they don't deserve to hold office, and I don't care if they're Republican or a Democrat.
Now, when you say it could end up in the, you're talking about the federal Supreme Court?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you think it could end up there because of how it was instituted, or because of what it says, or because of both?
Both. A couple of different, mm-hmm. Both. And certainly mm-hmm. it will be appealed all the way up to that level, I think. I think that's what's going to occur here. But, we'll see. Time will tell. I think in the short term, the best way to go about this is start electing folks all throughout New York State. And certainly it's more difficult down in the city. But elect people in New York State. Pay attention to who you're voting for. And elect people that support your constitutional rights.
And show up at primaries.
Show up. I mean, when I talked and I speak at a lot of gun clubs and a lot of sportsmen's clubs, and these are law-abiding citizens that have been attacked by the SAFE Act, and I tell them, listen, guys and gals, you got to get out there and vote. I mean, don't tell me that you're not registered to vote and then complain about what went on with the SAFE Act, because your voice is your vote in this representative republic. That's the way we can win. And there are, I believe, 4 million registered firearm owners in New York State. If they rise up and vote, or maybe 6 million, if they rise up and vote, we win. Andrew Cuomo didn't get 4
well,
million votes
last time.
Well,
there's a New York Rifle and Pistol Association, correct?
New York State Rifle and Pistol, right.
And you'd think that they would be getting their base out.
They're trying. They're pushing. Uh-huh. They are pushing. But mm-hmm. A lot of it comes down, and I tell people all the time, what are you willing to do in this election cycle? It can't just be, hey, Steve, I'm going to vote for you, and I'm going to vote for Kathy Marchione mm-hmm. and Chris Gibson and Rob Astorino. Well, that's great. We love that. We certainly need each individual support. But then that individual person needs to go to their entire Rolodex or, Christmas card list or their phone, and who do you know? Your family, your friends, your nieces, nephews, cousins, everybody you know. You got to be willing to carry those people along a little bit too and sort right. of spread the word among your circle of friends. That's right. What gets this done.
And I've taken some criticism from conservatives for having this point of view, but I think that street action demonstrations, if you're a conservative, they just don't carry a lot of weight because the media doesn't really report it, unfortunately. I mean, if there's a Democrat street demonstration or rally, it is reported, it does get into the media. Conservatives don't get media coverage, really. I think the way to go is make contributions to your candidates, show up in primary elections, go and vote, use your own social media to promote candidates, write letters to your local newspapers. Rallies, I'm not sure they pack a lot of clout. But anyway, I'll get away from that topic. So we talked a little bit about SAFE Act. What about Common Core updates? Anything going on?
Well, the Common Core continues to kind of boil all over the United States, and you're seeing states begin to pull back, pull out of it, realizing that this isn't going to work. I don't think any big government education initiative is ever going to work. I mean, No Child Left Behind didn't work, Race to the Top didn't work, and now I don't think Common Core will work. And I think what you're going to see more and more throughout this school year, not just in New York but nationwide, is parents opting their kids out of this onerous testing that they're undergoing and saying, my child's just not going to participate. Once we have a bigger groundswell of that, and we had a lot of it this year, but as parents become more and more aware and more frustrated and angry about what's going on with their children's education, they're the ones that are really in charge here. It's sort of like the Second Amendment guys. They're really in charge of this election if they mobilize and vote. Same thing with the Common Core parents. They're in charge of this, too, if they mobilize and vote as a big block. So once the parents begin to opt their children out, I think Common Core collapses of its own weight. And at the end of the day, I think that we'll look back a decade from now and be saying, this didn't work either. But I don't want to wait a decade. I'm not willing to risk a decade worth of our children's education, because that's really, if you're starting in first grade next week, that's about your entire your elementary and high school career. It's 12 years, so you get a decade of that. You're almost done. I'm not willing to risk these kids' future on this. I don't think it works. I think we're going to create a nation of test takers, and that's not what education is supposed to be about. Ultimately, I think that you have to do what the government never wants to do, and that's let the teachers teach. Each teacher I know, I mean, certainly not every one of them is the best of the best, but most teachers I know, an overwhelming majority, are extremely dedicated to their kids. My wife's a teacher. She's been in her classroom. She taught summer school all summer, and now she's been in her classroom working full-time days, getting ready for the kids that are coming next week. That is most teachers that I know. They're highly dedicated, highly skilled. Within a couple of days, my wife's going to know each one of her kids and what their strengths are and what their weaknesses are and where they need to work on, where they're,
right.
You know, that's what you got to do.
You know, I don't usually use sports analogies, but look, let's face it. If you're managing a baseball team that has some novice players and they don't have any big credentials, you're, even if you're a great manager, you're probably not going to get as many wins as someone who might be managing, you know, the Yankees or another first-class team. So it's not 100% fair to make it all the same for teachers. But, you know, it seems to me that Common Core really has big legs as an issue in New York. And I imagine in your reelection campaign, you're playing that up, which
yep.
he should be.
Yep.
And Phil Malone, is he a Common Core supporter or
no idea? But if you know, he's a typical progressive, and so I would say that he will be lockstep in whatever the progressives say to do, he'll do.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I don't like to use that word progressive on this show, because to me, the further you get away from the Constitution, the less progressive you are.
Exactly.
To me, progressive is following the Constitution.
Exactly.
But, Steve, do you have any important not you personally, but I mean, is there any important legislation pending in the Assembly that you want to talk about? Is there anything important going on
on Common Core or just
anything
in general?
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit difficult now because when we're out of session, you get to the end of the year and all the bills that are there die and have to be resubmitted. So there could be things out there that were substantial that we didn't pass. Well, we could talk for a minute or two on the Women's Equality Act, which Governor Cuomo and the Democrats love to run around and talk about the war on women. Well, the war on women exists from their side. I mean, we would have passed 9 of the 10 points. That is still sitting out there. We broke session tragically without taking any action on 9 out of these 10 points. And the reason for that is that the Democrats were willing to sacrifice and not pass 9 of the 10 because it's all about the 10th point, which is late-term abortion. And there's no way I'm ever signing on for that. And there's no way a lot of people will ever sign on for that. And by the way, the people of New York are extremely opposed to late-term abortion, no matter what they want, however they want to spin it. The people of New York and nationwide, even the pro-choice crowd, says, you know what, you get beyond a certain point, you know, you get beyond a certain number of months, enough's enough. And so they're not opposed to this. But Andrew Cuomo and the Democrats continue headlong, so much so that Andrew Cuomo started a women's equality party. This is the same governor and the same Democratic Party that wouldn't pass 9 of the 10 points. So it's beyond hypocritical to me.
And who won't debate a female candidate.
Well, exactly.
And who tried to stop.
Tried to knock her off the ballot.
The candidacy of a Democrat female.
Yep.
For
governor. Yeah, he's found a way.
And by the way, she appears to be, as far as her credentials go, she's viable as far as credentials, I think. I mean, there have been people elected to office with less than she has to offer, probably like maybe perhaps our president. Did I say that? I'm sorry.
Well, I would probably agree with Zephyr Teachout on next to nothing. You know,
yes.
We're just on opposite ends of the spectrum. But I give her a lot of credit and give Tim Wu a lot of credit, her running mate, for getting out there and having the courage to stand up and get their platform out there and fight for what they believe in. Doesn't mean I agree with them, but that's okay. That's perfectly fine. They are, if I would say this, and this will be probably one of my many tweets in the next couple of days. If you're a voter, a Democrat voter that votes on ethics and morals and integrity, and you want cleaned up government, I don't know how you fill Andrew Cuomo's name in on primary day. I don't know how you do it if you're a voter with ethics and you believe in that, which is why I think Zephyr Teachout and Tim Wu are going to post some pretty good numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Do you have any events going on, campaign events, or other events that you want people to know about?
Well, quite a lot. I mean, I'm excited. You mentioned the fair. I have the pleasure this weekend of running back and forth between my hometown of Scaticoke, where the Scaticoke Fair starts today as well, and Chatham, because I cover both Rensselaer County and Columbia County. So I'll be zipping back and forth. I'll be at both fairs probably three or four times. Rob Astorino will be at the Chatham Fair Sunday. I'm not sure exactly the time. I think it's going to be 2 o'clock.
Columbia County
and he'll be in Scaticoke as well. So both fairs will be walking around a little bit. I have got a we're planning a pretty big Second Amendment barbecue at one of the sportsmen's clubs up in Rensselaer County, probably the Hendrick Hudson. We're hoping to have it there somewhere in early October. We'll be having a huge chicken barbecue and raffling off some legal firearms. That'll drive the press crazy, but that's okay. They're perfectly legal, and they're law-abiding citizens that are going to win them. So that's one of the plans. We're doing a lot of door-to-door. Every night we're out going door-to-door talking to the folks. So quite a bit going on.
All right. Well, you've been listening to The Right Opinion Show. My name's Ed Furtick. As I said, I'll be back on September 10th with a 9/11 Remembrance Show. Tyson is in the studio getting ready for his appearance in a few minutes. It'll be a good show, so stay tuned. I hope I see you at the Columbia County Fair on Monday from 3 to 8 p.m. I'll be representing the Hudson Valley Americans for Freedom there. And thank you very much, State Assemblyman Steve McLaughlin, for being here.
Thank you.
And your, I wish you a lot of luck with your reelection effort. So thanks again, and I'll talk to you outside before when I get done here.
Thank you. Have a great Labor Day, everyone.
Okay. Hope to have you back, Steve. Bye-bye. All right, folks, and we're going to get into a little closing out music here, and I think we're going to go with another tune by Mary Chapin Carpenter, and it's called The Bug, and I think this pretty well summarizes what capitalism is, you know, and you'll see what I mean in a minute here. So see you soon, folks. Here's Mary with The Bug.
Well, it's a strange old game to learn it slow. One step forward and it's back to go. Sometimes you're the wind.